Welcome to Faith Break, finding God moments in your everyday. Each week on Faith Break, hosts Karen Luke and Ann Gallagher bring spiritual refreshment to your daily life. It's April 6th. As we get ready for the freshness and new growth of spring, Karen and Ann reflect on how God is bringing new life into our hearts and into our world during this Lenten season.
Welcome, everybody, back to Faith Break. I am Karen Luke.
And I'm Ann Gallagher.
And we are closing in on our Lenten journey.
We are, yes, we're motoring towards Easter at this point. We have covered the Lenten disciplines.
Yep.
All three of them. And so now we're kind of taking a broader view, a more thematic view of some of our Lenten readings and themes as we head towards Holy Week. So today we are going to be talking about finding renewal in God this Lent. And our topic is this week really drawn from our Sunday Mass readings.
So yeah, maybe the woman at the well.
We've got the woman who was caught in adultery.
Yep.
Jesus has so many interesting relationships with women.
It's confused.
John 8. So it's, the woman caught in adultery. And then the first reading is also really beautiful from Isaiah. So maybe we'll take a look at those as we go.
Yeah.
But before we get into the readings, let's just talk about a little bit about the idea of Lent as a time of renewal, which is very spring-like, I think.
Your favorite time of year.
It's fall is my favorite time of year. Okay. I'm good with winter and I'm okay with spring. Summer I don't like.
Okay.
But I'm okay with spring. And I do feel like this has been quite a long, hard winter for us, like weather-wise, but
and then,
also
like,
just
we'll have a couple days where it's super warm and nice, and then it drops down to 20 and 30.
I love living in Rochester. You gotta just roll with it. But so Lent is a time of renewal. It's a time of rebirth. It's a time of new life. And this is a great time of year to be thinking kind of about those things, because this episode is going to air on April the 6th, but recording it, we're still in March. And I always say that March is the worst month because it's just March and it's long and it's just the gray and the weather, and we're so busy in March. And
we jumped ahead. Mm-hmm. So now it gets darker.
Oh, yeah. The time change in the beginning of the month and everything is just, I think it's really easy for me to feel like I get stuck in March. So maybe before we talk about renewal, like, do you ever feel stuck? Like, what makes you feel stuck in a rut in your life?
Every or in your day? No.
Yeah.
I mean, I always joke that adulting seemed more fun as a kid.
Yeah, you thought it was all going to be about freedom and privilege and getting to do what you wanted, and it turns out
it's not like that.
Nope.
Like the last couple of days, I've really been struggling. I love my children, but they won't wake up for school, and it's like they sleep through their alarms. So I can't even like put an alarm clock in their room because they'll just sleep through it, and it just is like I just feel like constant stress. Like there's never a...
It's so hard when you start your day, and we have been there as well in our house. When you start your day with that level of
anxiety I joked with them today, you know, like the fire alarms in the hotels where they have the lights flashing in the rooms,
the buzzers and the buzzers.
I'm like, I'm gonna install flashing strobe lights in your rooms, because it's exhausting for me too, because mentally it's just like, it's just one more thing that I have to do.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's very hard.
Yeah. So, yes, I do feel stuck. I like when they don't have school or summer break, because it's more freeing.
Yeah. You can break out of the routine.
I can break out of the routine. Just... but yeah, I mean, it's just the world we're living in at this moment. Family members are getting older.
Yeah, I can feel like there's just a lot of inertia. I always...
It's very heavy time for me.
It can feel like things are never going to be different than they are right now.
Yeah.
And that, like, things are never going to change and we're never going to move forward with the world as we want to see it, or our families as we want to see it, or our lives, or our whatever, our prayer life, anything. Like, so that's what we're going to talk about today is like, how do we, when we feel that sense of being stuck, how do we deal with it? And how do we open ourselves up for God to do something new and refresh us and renew us in our lives? But it's occurring to me now that we haven't shared our God moments yet. So
all right, go
let's
ahead.
Do it. Me first?
Yeah.
Mine's actually pretty funny because I was, I'm going to talk about one of my kids and just hope she's not listening. But maybe she would enjoy me telling the story. So it was just Bridget and I home alone the other night. And I was like, I'm going to do a yoga class because I have this like online yoga studio I'm part of. So I go in my room and I don't close the door though, because I wanted to be able to hear her. And so I'm doing the yoga and she comes barreling into the room and she has this like rubber thing on her head. It's hot pink and it's got like little finger and it's like shaking, and she's like shaking her head and all the little rubber things are going, and she's just like dancing around in this thing.
And were you in like
yoga.
Downward dog that like
I
fell on the floor laughing?
I freaking lost it. It was so funny. And it was just like, there was only one way to interrupt your mom when you're doing yoga,
right?
When she's doing yoga, right? It's like, you have to go big or stay home. And she went big. She was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going all the way for the big laugh. And I just needed it.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
I love those moments where the kids spin
it.
She
was so funny.
Oh, that's like, awesome. That's hysterical. Bridget, you're so fun.
I know.
Come do that to me. So mine.
I don't know where she got. This thing was utterly ridiculous, too.
You need to tell her that I need it, because I'm going to wake the kids up wearing that one morning. Shake my head at their face.
That might work. That would get them out of their butt.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, mine is funny, too.
Okay.
So we started children's liturgy at St. Catherine's and at Transfiguration, but I was helping at St. Catherine's. And I have no idea how we got on this topic, but one of the little boys raised his hand and said, he's like, when's God's birthday? And I'm like, what? He says, when's God's birthday? And I said, well, God doesn't have a birthday, because God is, was, and always will be.
Right. That's kind of the
and
point.
Was, is, and always will be. And I'm looking at Debbie McLaughlin, who was also helping me, and she's like, I could see the wheels in her head, like, how are you going to explain this? And I said, well, God was here before a calendar was made, so God doesn't have a birthday. And he just like takes a breath and he's like,
you can see the wheels turning behind his eyes.
And he goes, I'm just going to ask Father Rob then. It was like, he didn't like my answer.
Take it straight to the top.
He's like, whatever, I'm passing you. I'm going to ask Father Rob. And,
oh my gosh.
And it was hysterical. Like, I wasn't mad. I was like, I really want to be there when he asks him. Like, I want to know what Father Rob would say.
So, yeah, definitely. That would be fun,
like,
too.
So I got laughing with them, and I was like, well, I think Father Rob would probably say the same thing that I said. But if he had to choose a date, it probably would be August 12th.
Because that's his birthday.
That's Father Rob's birthday, and he thinks, you know, that's the best day of the year. But it was just like the innocence.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to do a whole episode one of these days on funny things that teens and kids have said to us.
or
questions that they've asked us in our line of work, because that would make for a really funny conversation.
But I love the innocence.
Yeah.
And just like, he didn't care that we were in the middle of something completely different.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, I have a question. I'm going to ask it. And if I don't like your answer, I'm going to go ask Father Rob.
Oh, my gosh.
I love working with kids.
That's the thing. It's like, we can feel stuck as adults and stuff, but working with kids and teens, like, there's so much joy in the interaction.
Do you ever, like feeling stuck and down and discouraged?
Yep.
But then you have, like, you listen to, like, we have all these problems as adults.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear a kid's problem and you're like, oh, I wish I had that. I wish I couldn't figure out which color crayon to use today.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, and now it's like that our kids are teenagers. You think about when they were little and you could, when they had a problem, you could pretty much fix it.
Yeah.
And now.
We know nothing.
You can't.
We know nothing.
Even if you could, they wouldn't let you. So, oh, man.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, discouragement. Discouragement, I think I've talked about this before with you and here. is that, like, I struggle with discouragement, and it's probably, I don't think people would say that about me who know me casually, or, like, because I'm, like, an optimist and a dreamer by nature, and I have a lot of, like, high hopes and big dreams and stuff, but that's, like, it just makes it all the harder when things don't get realized, or if they don't get realized, like, fast enough for me, because patience is always a struggle too. So, like, I feel like renewal is something I really I long for in those moments when I'm feeling discouraged and I feel like I can't get out of it myself. I don't know.
I feel like interesting. I'm thinking about this, and I was like, for all the times that I was discouraged, I felt like I would never get out of it. So then, when I get discouraged now, I'm like, why can't I? Yeah. Why can't I remember that I did get out of it?
Yeah.
And it feels like there's just too much.
Right.
And why this time would be different, that I wouldn't be able to get out of it.
Yeah. I know, because we know God has brought us through the desert before, right? Talking about some of our Lenten readings from previous weeks, right? We know God brings us through it. But when you're in the middle of it, it can be hard to see where you're going.
Like, I feel this year that I feel more, like, during Lent, I feel more in the desert. Not just because I'm putting myself in the readings, but because of just life.
Yeah.
Like, it's really relatable to me this year.
Yeah. I feel like my Lent is going deep this year, too.
Okay.
I know. I feel that same way. And, this journey. I mean, like, we know we need to rely on God to bring the new life and the new energy and the new growth. But when it feels like our efforts aren't going anywhere, and, you know, this can be as, like, a minister or as a parent, I think, or whatever area in your life, when you feel like you're giving all this love and attention and care to things, but you're not seeing those sprouts come up because you're not the one who makes the growth, right, happen. We've talked before, like, create favorable conditions, and then God's going to work. It's, like, in these springtime moments, though, in, like, in the external world, we're starting to see those little tiny signs of spring. Like, those first crocuses that come up, or, like, the melting snow, or, like, birds came into my yard this weekend.
They were loud this weekend,
for months. And, like, so it's just, like, those, sometimes the hope comes in teeny tiny little signs. Or, like, the teen at youth group last week who doesn't always seem like he wants to be there, but at the end was like, I want you to hear this song that I was praying with, you know? Like, those little unasked for graces that will come even when we can feel stuck in the desert. Because remember, how long were they in the desert for?
40 years.
40 freaking years. Like, I know. Like,
that's,
we talk about Lent being 40 days, but really we're kind of, you know, we're always kind of always in each of the seasons. Do you know what I mean? Like, we have the liturgical cycle.
Right.
Well, but it just helps us to express whatever one we happen to be living through at that moment. We're always
doing them all. Well, in the first reading, the first Sunday of Lent, it was about Jesus being in the desert for 40 days.
Yep.
And, you know, that 40, do you know where, like, why 40 is so? I just know that just, it's.
I think it's symbolic for, like, you know, everything. 40 means all of it.
Yeah. And it just seems like a long.
Kind of like seven means.
Long time.
Everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this weekend in Isaiah, I just wanted to point out a passage. Because if you haven't realized, I am one who kind of thinks about the past quite a bit and where I was and how to change things. And so in Isaiah 43:16-21, it says, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. See, I am doing something new." And I was like, oh.
Right?
It just, like, melted this ice away or whatever, because it's so much easier to focus on things that have happened.
Yes.
Or focus on things that, the unknown. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. But, like, I am doing something new. Every day is a new opportunity to be.
And the challenge to hold life in open hands like that, because I think I tend to be more like, well, this is how I hope they will be.
Right.
But even if it's something I'm hoping for, it's not necessarily like God doing something new. That's like God surprising me with something. Yeah. That's a whole different thing. Right. Then I don't know.
Do you feel like sometimes the something new is that you just got through the day?
Sometimes. Yeah. Or the week or whatever. Yeah. And the beginning of that passage too. Start. I love this one. Starts that thus says the Lord who opens a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. So the idea that like whatever we're stuck in, like God can open it. God can free it. God can like, you know, get us through it. Because it's just the days. We would talk all the time about how like the years are short and the days are long. But like the things we have to get through in every given day.
Right.
As like working moms in ministry is like huge, right?
But we have to trust that it's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
right? We can't just have like, oh, okay, I'm good. God's going to take like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. it's up to God now. Well,
right.
you have to trust, and it's not that God. I mean, we have free will,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not like God has planned our entire life out for us.
Right. Yeah,
we
his
still
dreams
have
are going to come to fruition. However,
yeah, but we still have to make a considerable effort. To be Christ-like.
To cooperate.
And to cooperate yeah. and to make good choices. It's mm-hmm. not like I can just sit back and be like,
yeah.
oh, God will make all the good choices for me. And I don't yeah. have to, you know, it's...
Right.
You still have that...
Active
We're still
role.
Human.
Mm-hmm.
We still sin.
Yep.
We're still mortal.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Life is still happening
yeah.
around us. It's taking that... It's taking those moments to trust in God, but also to have calm... And peace in your heart during these times
mm-hmm.
that it will, you'll get through it.
Right. Yeah. We, I think I've shared before too, how I went to a youth ministers conference before I had kids in Vegas and the theme was the desert shall bloom.
And you were in Vegas?
And we were in Vegas because we were in the desert. It was crazy. But it was a really good conference. And so I've always like this phrase, like the, like having had that experience when we were I was in an actual physical desert and feeling what the air felt like there. And like,
yeah, that's cool.
And that it wasn't just like, you know, little cactuses were going to come up, but like it was going to bloom. Like that's the level of refreshment that God,
right.
you know, like a complete makeover of the land into someplace that was arid and dry, into someplace that is, you know, teeming with life. And to trust in that kind of promise. In our lives, it's a tall order sometimes,
yeah.
but it's a good challenge. So, yeah, I was thinking too about this. I just pulled one quote from the second reading, which kind of ties in with what you were sharing before about being getting stuck in the past. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead. I continue my pursuit toward the goal. The prize of God's upward calling. So like you said, like God can do all these awesome things for us and we need to let him, but we also need to cooperate with him.
Right.
And work with God instead of against God, which can be, you know.
I mean, and I don't think we intentionally work against
right.
God.
Mm-hmm.
I think just for our thinking of like needing that control, that's when we work against God.
Mm-hmm.
Like our control yeah. to be able to have things right.
Yeah.
And fix things ourselves rather mm-hmm. than the in the now.
Yeah. And let them grow in God's like, time. Do you want to look at the gospel reading?
Yes.
All right.
Considering that I thought it was something different.
Yeah, you were in the right family. So this is the one where the woman's, she's caught in adultery and they're bringing her out to stone her and Jesus intervenes. And I know over the years, you and I have had several conversations about this one. And the thing that always comes up is like, well, nobody gets caught in adultery alone.
Right.
So,
yeah. Why is it always the woman?
Where the heck was
the guy?
Where yeah. was the guy? And how come he has no consequences? But we couldn't move past that today. And
but do we have to? Let's just talk about this for a moment.
Like, yeah.
Really?
Talk about being stuck. She was stuck in, like, not only her own choices, but she was stuck in the whole culture of the time.
Yeah.
That was just set up against her, right?
Yeah. She was alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was no other... It wasn't like he came to help her.
Right.
Or even the thought that there was somebody else. That's right. What I get. Like, I'm like,
I mean, come on. I know. Come on.
Like, seriously? Okay.
And I'd like to think we've moved a whole lot farther.
I don't know how.
This,
I don't. But, we can think we have, but I don't think we have. But
right. So, yeah. So she's like, let's just paint the picture here, right? Okay. So she's been dragged out in front of the town, the community.
Her, in the middle of the square.
Judgment, like, surrounding her from probably people she knows to the people in power, everybody, right?
Right.
And not just, this isn't like a social media thing. These people have actual rocks that they're going to throw at her because, like, that was, they want to hurt her and kill her.
Yeah, that was the custom.
Yeah. I mean, so talk about being stuck in the desert and needing God to find a way out. Like, Jesus does that for her. Like, it's just, it's so awesome. Like, he, first of all, he sees her.
Yeah.
And he sees her and he does this whole thing without, like, saying much, right? Because we see the picture of him, like, writing in the sand. We don't know what he wrote in the sand, but we can imagine things he might have written in the sand. But he sees her as a person, and he finds her a way out of the place where she's stuck. He finds her a way to freedom. And, yeah, that's powerful.
And I like, what I like about the story is that we can easily judge others.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to judge others than ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I could think of 8 million things that somebody else is doing, but looking inwards, it wouldn't occur to me that I was doing the same thing.
Right.
Have you heard the joke about this?
I don't think so.
Okay, can I tell it?
Yeah.
Okay, so... okay. Okay, so... Jesus was standing around and he says, whoever has not sinned, cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, a stone comes flying over the crowd. And he turns around. He turns around and he's like, Mom, I wasn't talking about you. So
Catholic
maybe Mary. So Mary
That's
really
awesome.
Could be the only one who could do that. But I don't think Mary would throw the stone.
No.
I don't think that's because, I mean, really she could have been in the similar place.
Right? Oh, my gosh. Right. Yeah. You know what? I never thought about it quite that way before, that he could have really been seeing his mom in this woman.
Yeah.
Because
if it didn't play out the way that it did.
If Joseph hadn't stood by her the way he did.
It would have happened
just
to Mary.
That to her. That's, wow. See, it doesn't matter how many times we work our way through the cycle of these 3 years of readings. Like, there's always something more, someplace deeper that God can take you.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I mean, you think of how much, like, where, I'm sure Jesus came to that place because that's who he was.
Right.
But. Like, knowing that it could have happened to Mary or whoever else was in his close-knit circle. Like, how protective of we're so protective of our own family,
right.
But we don't think about that when we judge others.
Mm-hmm.
And they are someone else's family.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you for helping me see anything. and just Jesus in that passage is so like he's intimate and he's quiet, but he's able to like move mountains by doing very little. And I just love how he sees her, and like the reminder that like Jesus sees us too. Like, he knows what's in our hearts, and he knows what we carry, and he knows what's coming at us from the outside, and he knows how to get us through it so that we can receive something new. And so to let God bring us to that place in these remaining weeks of Lent is, I think, maybe a good thing to reflect on.
Yeah.
Like, how do we need God to bring us through, our stuck places and to bring us new life and renewal?
Well, and to tie it back in with our theme this year, we're pilgrims of hope.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always moving towards that.
Right.
And even though we feel stuck, eventually, we will have this silver lining or the the sun, you know, the sun shining through the cloud moment where we're just like, okay.
Yeah. You know, when Don was here talking about Lent and the pilgrimage and the Jubilee year, I was surprised he didn't say this because I've heard him speak a lot about pilgrimage and how, you know, the thing about pilgrimage is that it's hard and it's messy and like you're going away from your home and you know, you've only got the stuff in your bag or whatever. And like, there's going to be delays and there's going to be pitfalls and there's going to be challenges along the way. But your destination, you know, is going to be filled with graces and your return home. You'll return home a different person than when you set out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've been traveling this journey through Lent for what, 5 weeks now, going into the 6 weeks. Yeah. So we might be tired by now. And, you know, Easter might still feel a long way off. And so in those moments to just trust in the process and keep putting one foot in front of the other and look for those signs of hope by the side of the road.
Speaking of signs of hope, I'm going to throw our OCIA
Yay.
Peeps in here. Uh-huh. Like, you know, for us during this time, and I say for us, those that have been through Lent as, you know, cradle Catholics or, you know, even going through the RCIA process previously. But this is a whole different level of desert time for our candidates and catechumens because they've never known the joy of Easter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is their first, like, they are. So if you want to see moments of joy, watch our candidates and catechumens as they're like coming up to receive the blessing at communion time.
I know.
And like, I am so excited. Like when they actually could come up and receive, like I'm excited for them.
Yeah.
And every time their faces are just like lit up.
And then we start this at the Easter Vigil, right? When we have them, but really we are initiating people into the church throughout the Easter season. And, you know, for our faith community, that first week in May is going to be when we're going to get them all through. We're going to do all of our first communions. We're going to have first confirmation at the cathedral. And, you know, we're going to be doing blessings on all those young people over the coming weeks in our, you know, in our parishes. And so definitely, like, if you see young people in church in these next few weeks, like, you know, reach out to them, welcome them. And because they're at a really special time in their faith journey, too, where God's doing something new and inviting them into something deeper. Yep.
The seeds have been planted and they're I think for them, we will see their their flourishment.
Yeah.
Like they're so on fire after the sacraments. It's like, oh, I love it.
You want to close with just a little maybe lightning round of everyday little things that can bring you a, like a hit of renewal when you need one, when you're feeling stuck. Little ways to let God perk you up a bit.
Sure.
What are some things that are, that work for you when you need a moment?
I go outside. I am.
Me too.
Well, I mean, you know, and you should know me by now. Like the outdoors is where I get my, I just love being grounded.
Yeah.
So, like, if I need a little bit of refreshment or renewal, it'll definitely be going outside. Reaching out to people I have, like, my best friends.
Yeah, my group chat with my college girlfriends was first on my list. Because even if it's just a little check-in, that dose of community with people who've loved you and cared for you forever is the perfect thing.
Snuggle movie nights with the family.
Uh-huh.
Like, that is definitely... And I love, we don't have those planned. So they're like so sporadic. So if one of us is having a bad day, we have like the kids and Jeremy and I all have a group text. And so we're just like, one of us will say like movie night and we know.
Oh, I wish I could get my kids to do that. Mine won't do that anymore.
And we know, and it's just like, you know, we snuggle up together, but
that's awesome.
But I have to shout out really fast to my sister because she every year goes on a girls' trip with her friends, and the last like 6-7 years they've asked me to go, but I can never go because of work. It's always been on a weekend that we had a bunch of stuff, and so this year there was nothing planned.
Hey,
so
you're going.
This airs, I would have already gone.
Oh, okay, good.
But yeah, so I'm going, and I'm like super excited.
Awesome.
And just my sister time.
Oh, so good.
Like,
I love it.
I'm very excited about my sister time. So what else is on your list?
Sometimes I need a quick reboot and I will have a cup of tea.
Me and my tea.
Me and my tea. But it's not the actual tea. It's the idea that I give myself permission to disconnect from whatever needs to be
happening. So it's not like you're drinking your tea while you're texting or emailing or you just...
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm trying to do less of that. But like when I need a break, that's usually what I do.
I want to be like
and
you
open
when
a
I grew
window.
Up.
Open a window. I had to open the windows for the first time the other day. I'm like, my family thinks I'm nuts, but I was just like, it's 50 degrees. It's time. So it's like the small things, right?
Yeah.
Even just like you said, like getting up and walking outside for a minute.
Yeah. And that's what I love about like prayer or anything. Like we don't have to build an hour.
No, it can't be
time.
A tiny
it's
little
like
dose.
1 minute.
Yep.
Just like a gratitude prayer or an intention or, you know, it's so funny. We work at the church.
Yep.
Yet how many times have I just walked over to the chapel? I was like, oh, I should probably walk over to the chapel today.
And sit down or whatever.
And then I'm just like, oh, I don't end up doing it. But what an amazing opportunity, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, you guys can do it. And if you are doing it, let us know because it's important that we share this with.
Oh, yeah. Put in the comments your little, what do you do for little spontaneous bursts of renewal in your daily life? We would love to hear what you have to say about that. Okay. I think that's most of what I've got.
Wait, you see, what's your last one?
Oh, sleep. I talked about that before. It does bring me renewal. I'm getting better.
That's good.
But it's a work in progress.
As everything is.
As everything is.
Well, thank you, everybody, for this time with us about renewal and just making it through.
We have a great last week or so before Holy Week. And on Palm Sunday, we will have another special guest. Deacon Eric Bissett is going to be joining us and talking all about Holy Week. That's going to be a really good one. So make sure you tune in next week.
I love Holy Week. It's one of my favorites.
Yep. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for taking a faith break with us today. Karen Luke and Ann Gallagher are lay ministers with the parishes of St. Catherine of Siena in Mendon, New York, and Church of the Transfiguration in Pittsford, New York. More about our parishes, including weekly live-streamed Sunday Mass, can be found at stcath.org or transfigurationpittsford.org. Engineering today is by Jeff Beckett. Join us for new episodes of Faith Break each week in studio on YouTube or on your favorite audio podcast or music app.